Today is the 19th of November 2016, and it got cold, didn't it? Well, we've got our electric blankets on our beds, and we've got, let's see, Lizette's got her stocking cap on. Anyway, we really have been blessed with a very warm November. It's the 19th of November, and God finally decided to turn the sun off. But the sun was shining today, but it was still cold. Well, welcome to Pineville House Church. It's Saturday evening. We're going to be going up to Joplin tomorrow for a fellowship with Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Joplin. And tomorrow night we're going to be having, the good Lord being in the matter, we're going to be having a talk show with Edward Henry and Michael Smith. And I sent out announcements on that, and as well as the topics that we're going to be discussing. It's going to be at 6:30. We moved it up an hour. I think it seems to make people a little easier for people. Last time we had about 15 people on the program, and we appreciate all those guests that showed up and participated. The first selection that we have tonight is in the Old School Hymnal, page 197. In Heaven My Choicest Treasure Lies. And I think as we look around this, our world today, we can certainly relate to that. Mark, you want to start that?
In Heaven My Choicest Treasure Lies. My hopes are placed above the skies. 'Tis Christ the bright and morning star draws my affections from afar. Oh, that my anxious mind were free from this fountain of clay, that I might give the immortal word and live and reign with Christ my Lord. Then should I see and feel and know what 'tis to rest from sin and woe, and all my soul be tuned to sing the praises due to Christ my King. Hail, blessed time, Lord, bid me come and enter my celestial home, and drown the sorrows of my breast in seas of unmolested rest.
Okay, the second selection Rosette would like to sing, page 10, taken out of the Psalter 9b. Sing praise to the Lord who in Zion does dwell. Among all the peoples his great doings tell. When blood he avenges, his memory is clear. The cry of the poor never fades from his ear. Lord, see how I suffer from malice and hate. Have mercy, O lift me away from death's gate, that I with the daughters of Zion may voice your praise and in your salvation rejoice.
The nations are sunk in the pit they prepare. Their foot in the net which they hid is ensnared. The Lord by His judgment has made Himself known. He by their own works has the wicked o'erthrown. The wicked to death's dark abode shall be brought, and all of the nations who God have forgot, forgotten no longer the cause of the weak, nor perish forever the hope of the meek. Rise, Lord, that mere man may not make himself strong. Let nations be judged in your presence for wrong. Strike terror within them, O Lord, always then. Let nations know truly that they are mere men.
Okay, the last one we're going to sing before we transition over to the other side of the other part of the message or whatever, the sermon or the whatever, is Twilight is Stealing, page 368. Twilight is Stealing. Twilight is stealing over the sea. Shadows are falling dark on the lea. Born on the night wind, voices of yore come from the far off shore. Far away beyond the starless skies, where the love light never, never dies. Gleameth a mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright. Voices of loved ones, songs of the past, still linger round me while life shall last. Lonely I wander, sadly I roam, seeking a far off home. Come in the twilight, come, come to me, bringing some message over the sea, cheering my pathway while here I roam, seeking that far off home. Far away beyond the starless skies, where the love light never, never dies, gleameth the mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight. As we open your word, we pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts. May they exalt your name, we pray. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct us. And we ask this in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Well, I'm going to look tonight in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Jesus had a lot of woes for the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'm surprised that they didn't kill him earlier than they actually did, but it wasn't God's timing, of course. There were times when he said things to them that really set their teeth on edge. And says there's many passages says that he you know walked away from them because it was no longer his time, you know. And so we're going to just read through this. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they did bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not ye called Rabbi, for who is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greater among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, he is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereof. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of men and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, not to leave the others undone, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachi, as whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, a lot of woes on the Pharisees and the scribes. He called them hypocrites. He called them blind guides. He called them a lot of things, didn't he? And now, do you think that there are, in today's world, do you think there are scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites? You know, if we are all, if we were honest, we would have to say we are all scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites at some level. None righteous, no, not one. God has concluded them all in unbelief and sin. But yet, he showed his grace to some who have been benefactors or benefit. They have benefited from his death on the cross. And today, what I want to talk about is really something that we have at our we have been given something that is precious, and that is the unmerited favor of God, his unconditional love. And I'm not sure if anyone really understands in total what that really means, his unconditional love. These Pharisees and these scribes and these hypocrites that he was talking to here had no understanding of true love. They only wanted control. They only wanted power. They only wanted to be exalted. And they did not want to have any kind of accountability to anyone. They were not accountable even to themselves. They certainly weren't accountable to God. They were only about exalting themselves, and they were not about loving their brother as themselves. They loved themselves, but they didn't love anyone other than themselves. In Christ, he in Romans 5:8, it says, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. You know, the love of Christ is something that we cannot even really articulate what it meant when he came to this cursed world as a suffering servant and laid his life down for his people, freely laid his life down. And you know, in Ephesians 3:19, it says to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, I don't think we can ever fully know the love of Christ. It does pass knowledge. It passes us by. You know, but we know that the love of Christ is something that we can appreciate, we can honor, we can exalt. We can show our praise and thanksgiving for Christ showing his love to us. And, you know, it says in Romans 8:39 that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate God's people from the love of Christ. Isn't that amazing? You know, Ephesians 6:23 says, "Peace be to the brethren and the love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we cannot really realize what that love really entails. We look at our parents and they've shown us love at times. Sometimes they haven't shown us so much love. But sometimes our parents show us love, don't they? But usually the love shown by parents is generally has conditions on it, doesn't it? You have to, if you do this, and if you do this, and if you do this, I'll love you. And if you don't do this, and if you don't do that, I won't love you. And Jesus Christ didn't have any conditions on his love. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. And when we think about his love, we think that there's also the reality that we have experienced in this life distress. We have experienced a certain amount of loneliness in our life. We anticipate the time when we'll be more alone than we are now. Maybe we'll lose our parents. Maybe we'll lose friendships. Maybe we'll lose a spouse. Maybe we'll be left all alone. What do we do then? What do we then? Well, we go back to Romans 8:35 and we read that passage of Scripture which says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or sword?" It asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it answers the question that we read earlier in Romans 8:39, "Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, maybe someone's listening now that's going through a great time of loneliness and heartache, and your heart is breaking because there doesn't seem to be anyone in your life that cares. Well, we see here these Pharisees, these scribes, these Pharisees were uncaring. They didn't care. They put great burdens on people, and Christ took them to task for it. But let us remember that the difference between the Pharisees, the scribes, and Christ was that Christ showed abundant love to all of his people. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, "Come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, what a beautiful, beautiful proclamation that Jesus makes when he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes it seems like his yoke is not so easy. It seems like the burdens that have been placed upon us are more than we can bear. And we scratch our head and we look in the mirror and say, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" But we have to realize that God has shown His grace to His people. You know? And we must realize that nothing is going to separate us from His love, even though it may seem like that we have no apparent love being directed to us by other people. And it seems like many of them have cast us off, and many of them have disappointed us, and we had confidence in certain people, and their confidence was betrayed of us, or betrayed by their actions and so on. And you know, the love of Christ constraineth us, you know, but we must realize that the love of Christ surpasseth knowledge. And we must realize also that for God so loved the world of His elect, that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see this love manifested in Christ through His actions. And we see that sometimes we have to almost take on the same thought. I mean, we become fools for Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians 4:10, it says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." You know, have you ever felt despised because of your stand for the gospel and because of what you have believed, what you've been given the faith to believe? You know, Christ is our only hope in this life and in the afterlife. You know, Colossians 3:1 says, "If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." The love of Christ is something that I know the first time I heard a message on the substitutionary work of Christ, it was really such a wonderful gospel to hear. Christ took His place. He took my place. In my stead, He died in my stead. And Ephesians 2:13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You know, and with the blood, with Christ shedding His blood on the cross, it exemplified how much love He had for us. Even while He was dying on the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it's hard for us to understand how God would see fit to bless His children with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, and also the reality that His love was also exemplified in the fact that He not only died, but He rose again for us. He rose again. He says, "Blessed be," I'm reading in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That is another exemplification of His love for us. You know, if He had not laid His life down for us, there would have been no reconciliation for His people back to Himself. And so this love of Christ is something that when we see Him chastising and pointing out these reprobates that were trying to set themselves up over the people, And then we see, in contrast, Christ's ministry to his people. Then we see that we have been given a great gift in Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is love. I don't know very many people that would give their life for me. If I was in dire straits, they would lay down their life in my place. But you know, Christ did that for all of his people. And, you know, here he is. He's the creator of the universe, but he laid his life down for his people. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he show such love? Well, he had a tremendous amount of love for those for whom he predestinated into adoption. He had a tremendous amount of love when he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. When he foreknew us, when he effectually called us, when he justified us with his own blood, and that he gave his life a ransom for many. And you know, when we think about the contrast between Christ and these people he was pointing out, the difference between Christ and the Pharisees, the difference between Christ's response to the adulterer and the Pharisees' response to the adulterer, the difference between Christ's response to those who were accused of breaking the Sabbath and the Pharisees who caught someone gathering sticks on the Sabbath. The difference between Christ and his response to Mary Magdalene and the Pharisees' response to Mary Magdalene. The difference into the response to what the Pharisees would probably have done to the Samaritan woman responding to her, and Christ's response to the Samaritan woman. Think about it. Christ was always showing his love to those for whom he went to do a great work to. And he said to Zacchaeus, this day I will be at thy house. This day, he said also, I must needs go to Samaria. He also said that he was going to show his mercy. Remember what happened when he got word that Lazarus had died. Of course, he already knew that Lazarus was dead. But he said he is going to be, this happened so that God may be glorified. God's love is demonstrated not only in his salvation, but also in his putting up with us each day that we falter and fail, and he continues to bear with us. He makes intercession for us. He's prayed for us. And anyway, I think about the love of Christ, and you know, he says in 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. The only way we can have any kind of fulfillment in our life is if we live through Christ. You know, that's the only way. That was why God sent His only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through Him, through His imputed righteousness that He's given us, and so on. And so anyway, I'm glad that God has shown His unbounding love to us. I'm glad that He was not a Pharisee. I'm glad He wasn't. He isn't into putting more on us than we can stand. I'm glad that He is not an accuser of the brethren. I'm glad that He is not one that is constantly pointing His fingers at me saying, "Uh-oh, you messed up again." I'm glad that He is not one of those that's counting how many sticks I carried on the Sabbath, picked up on the Sabbath day. I'm glad He's not one of those that anytime I have a lustful thought, He is ready to stone me for adultery. I'm glad that anytime I have I'm drawn away of my own lust and enticed, He's not ready to throw me under the bus and run over me like the Pharisees did. I'm glad that Christ isn't that way. You know, I'm glad that Christ is one who is forgiving. He's long-suffering. He's kind. He's gentle. He's one that shows compassion for His people. You know? And remember what Peter said to the person that was wanting money from him. He said in Acts 3:6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You know, it's a loving thing to proclaim the power of Jesus Christ and to be able to walk in Him on a daily basis without having to be under condemnation. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And Christ is the only one that can cause us to do that. The love of Christ constraineth us. And so today, that's what's on my mind, is comparing and contrasting the love of Christ with, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." You know, let's look at the difference in Christ and how His interaction was with His people than those that were all caught up within themselves and constantly were trying to put themselves in preeminence and wear the longest, shiniest robes and giving themselves a place in the marketplaces and saying long prayers and so on. And what a difference Christ showed. And maybe we should think on these things and ask God to help us to live our lives in a way that would some way exemplify the same kind of love that Christ showed, and not be a scribe or Pharisee or hypocrite. In 2 Corinthians 9:8 it says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was yet for your sakes He became poor, that He through His poverty, that ye through His poverty might be rich," speaking of spiritual richness, speaking of the spiritual things that God has given us. And anyway, so I want us tonight to remember that Christ loved us, and His love never changes. His love lasts forever. And that He was never a Pharisee or a hypocrite. He never demonstrated any sin. He was perfectly holy, and He's long-suffering and compassionate to us. And we should be grateful for it. Do we have any final selection? number 130. Enough for me. Out of the old school hymnal. Oh, love surpassing knowledge, oh, grace so full and free, I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me, and that's enough for me, oh, that's enough for me. I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me. Oh, wonderful salvation, from sin he makes me free. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough for me, and that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough for me. Oh, blood of Christ so precious, poured out on Calvary, I feel its cleansing power, and that's enough for me. And that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. I feel its cleansing power. And that's enough for me.
I have a request. Page 134, Bob Neighbor Fans.
134.
Go ahead.
Not Made with Hands. You want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Christ went a building to prepare, not made with hands. It will be decked with jewels rare, not made with hands.
I know.
I have another building. I know, not made with hands. Put on the armor of our God, not made with hands. And take the path our captain trod, not made with hands. With shield of faith defy the foe, not made with hands. Until you hear the trumpet blow, not made with hands. The city's built with precious stones, not made with hands. Within will gather round the throne, not made with hands. I know, I have another building. I know, not made with hands.
Well, let's conclude this with 487, Walk with God. Walk with God, 487.
I love the quietness of the morning, the peaceful beauty of the day. I love to go there to my bower and humbly bow my head and pray. Oh, may His grace and mercy guide me. When life is finished, I can say, when the evening sun is setting, I have walked with God today. Oh, what a joy and peace it gives me to talk to Jesus in a prayer. It gives me hope and consolation. It lifts me from my every care. Things seem brighter in the morning as God so boldly shows His face. makes me want to shout his praises and thank him for amazing grace. Oh, may his grace and mercy guide me when life is finished, I can say. When the evening sun is setting, I have walked with God today.
Well, may the good Lord be with y'all and bless you in this upcoming week, and may you have a good time of Thanksgiving. Let us be thankful for the many blessings God has given us. God be with you.